This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Can you tell I've been to the Twin Cities again?
Yep. My hometown, brother.
Yeah.
My city.
Yeah, it is. That's right. So, yesterday, once again, I told you I was going to Winston-Salem, and automatically when somebody in Winston-Salem hears that I'm coming to Winston-Salem, they know that the host of the show has to be...
Co-host
of the show has to be maintenanced.
Good word.
And so yesterday, when they heard I was going up for the National Sports Media Association Awards event last night, the Benton Convention Center, by the way, Winston-Salem, another fabulous job hosting an event for the NSMA. Saw plenty of our friends. Nicole Auerbach was there, National Sports Writer of the Year. Jim Nance went in the Hall of Fame, among others. Wilkerson, sugar cake for you. Moravian sugar cake.
The first one we had this morning was pretty good.
First one was good. We got two more left here. And then this may be the coup de grace for you. Moravian lemon cookies.
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah, we got some lemon cookies for you. We got the regular spice cookies.
Yeah, I really like those.
Yeah. We got a little brochure so you can order some more for your friends during the holiday.
Can't afford that.
More of the sugar cookies and more of the Moravian cookies. What's over there in those bags? You got some more things in those bags you need to show people?
Well, I mean, you know, you're the one who brought the gifts.
Well, so. You know, just there we go. Let's see. Oh, we got a bigger thing of the sugar and the Moravian spice.
Yeah,
that's butter rum. Butter rum, maybe, later in the show for you.
I've been known to have a few dozen of those.
Have a few dozen of those? Yeah. How about just more sugar cookies? I think we're going to be fine for the holidays now.
Yeah. My diabetes should be outstanding by the time we get to Christmas Eve at this rate. Should be really well. Doing great on that.
Oh,
that's
man.
Awesome. I appreciate all the stuff.
Wilkerson Bakery. Moravian Bakery.
That's it. Appreciate their good work on that.
And these good folks apparently are the original proprietors of Dewey's, the Wilkerson family.
Sounds like family.
Ran into Jim Holmes last night, longtime Winston-Salem resident who told me that he played on the Summit School basketball team that had a little Mark Packer running around because Billy was the coach.
I don't remember any of that.
He didn't think you would, but said you had a monogram sweater that said MAP on it.
I really don't remember
that.
Yeah,
see, there you go. You try to forget some things, right? Just don't want
to... No, I don't try to forget anything. I just don't remember any of that.
But anyway...
There's a big difference between trying to forget something and going, I am just... It's just like that one guy you told me about. You're like, oh, yeah, you know so-and-so. I'm like, I've never heard of that man before.
Well,
remember that story?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
I didn't want to remember it. I
just didn't...
didn't exist.
Jim was telling me about the Summit School basketball team that
Summit
Billy coached.
Summit School.
This was back when you were... He said you couldn't have been more than four.
Oh, how in the world would I have remembered that?
Exactly.
Four years old.
But it was a funny story at the time. So.
I don't even remember what I had for dinner last night, much less what happened when I was four.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got an incredibly busy show today.
But wait
beyond
a minute, before
all
you get started, because it's a monster show.
It is a monster show.
We, the collective team,
yeah,
received our very first Packer and Durham Christmas card.
Okay.
Because I don't think we ever got one before.
How about that?
So, note on top of it, the Seekins family. There you go.
Well,
there you
go.
Merry
hey, folks.
Christmas.
Good to see you guys.
All right. And here's the note. Dear Packer and Durham, truly enjoyed watching you most every morning this past year on ACC Network. Always get a good laugh. Get to see two adorable dogs and learn something new about the ACC every day. I wish each of you a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. My wish for the College Football National Championship is to be Cincinnati and Michigan. Keep up the good work. Go Tigers, Joe Seekins.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, Joe, thank you very much. Shout out to the family. Got the dogs and the whole thing. Patrick, Joe, Daniel, Aaron, and dogs Katie and Riley. There it is. First Christmas card sent to the house.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
We'll give a shout out there.
Ran into a lot of folks last night who have patronized our program this year. Appreciate that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How's Mr. Nance doing?
Jim was doing good.
Got stickers.
Courtney and the kids were there last night with him for his Hall of Fame induction.
Nice.
Some of the brass from the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If you said to me, you can either have a table full of Wilkerson Bakery goods or an award from whatever that organization.
It's called the NSMA.
I'll go with the sugar cookies. I got to be honest with you. I'll go with a table full of Moravian sugar cake and don't let Jim Nantz walk away with hardware trying to figure out how to get that thing back to California.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Yeah. No, but said tell you hello, as always.
Hello, friend.
That's pretty close, yeah. all right, let's start with the night in hoops. Show. We're going to go women's side first.
Thank God, because it's positive.
Yeah. Jewel Spear last night in Winston-Salem puts 40-4-0 on the board. Look at the stat line. 14 of 25 from the floor. 10 threes. 10 of them. The Buccaneers of East Tennessee State had no shot. 90-58 the final last night at Joel Coliseum. How about that?
That's what you call, hope you enjoy your check, is what you call that. 40 spot. By the way, six ACC women's teams are ranked in the latest AP top 25. Mm-hmm. Six. We're giving you all this because this is the good news.
Right?
Because there was some ugly news last night.
Yeah.
And I'm being kind.
Spears points, by the way, tied for the second most in the ACC in ACC history last night. Here are the six ACC ladies teams ranked. NC State and Louisville in the top 10. Duke 15, Nell Fortner's Georgia Tech team moves up to 18 after the win over UConn, Notre Dame, and Courtney Banghart in North Carolina. There's the top 25. Now, you mentioned the men's card. Albany, who came to the Conte Forum last night at 2-7, beat Boston College 61-57. BC shot under 39% from the floor, 31% from three. The Great Danes led by 9 at halftime. Devondre Perry finished with 16 points to lead Albany, which won on the road for the first time in 6 games. Jaden Zachary, 15 for Boston College, which lost at home for the first time in 7 starts. BC does not play again until Wake Forest a week from today, or a week from tomorrow, the 22nd of December.
Plenty of good seats available for the game last night, I see.
Oh, at the Forum?
That's an ugly loss. I don't care what
it doesn't say. Help. I mean, and again, you know, in all transparency here, this has been a, for the most part, a very, very tough pre-conference schedule for most of these ACC teams. And
it's not, it went west. Whoa, that's different. It's different to say it's a tough schedule. It's another thing to say it's been a tough ride.
Well, tough ride as opposed to tough schedule.
Well, you can play a bunch of really good teams and lose. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. You can play 2-7 Albany and lose. That's right. Not a tough schedule.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be a win. That, I mean, this is the same team that wore out Notre Dame,
yeah,
which just got done beating Kentucky. I mean, this is college basketball. We said it's going to be very similar to college football.
Right.
In the sense that, hey, it doesn't matter what that number is beside your name. Doesn't matter what league you're in.
Yep.
What reputation you think you have. You got to go play.
That's it.
That's again, new coach, Coach Grant doing his thing. They've had some good wins.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some really good wins. But that was one you just expected to have a W last night. That wasn't good.
There are 5 games on the slate tonight. A couple of them here on ACC Network. Southeast Louisiana at Louisville is a 6 o'clock start. You'll see that. Then the double dip is at 8 when South Carolina State visits number 2 Duke. Dave O'Brien and Corey Alexander will be there for that. ESPN2 tonight, and East Schroff's on the call with Furman in North Carolina. VMI visits Wake Forest, and Miami of Ohio is at Clemson. That's a Miami of Ohio team, by the way, remember, that beat Georgia Tech in their opener in Atlanta this year. So that's a 5-game men's slate tonight, and we'll get a look at those results tomorrow. More transactive news in terms of the administrative side of the house. Louisville has named Josh Hurd their interim athletics director, and I think that was speculated by Mark Ennis last week on our show that Josh Hurd would be the interim athletic director, and that is, in fact, the case at Louisville. Mitch Tyree, of course, resigned last week, effective over the weekend. So Josh Hurd now takes over, at least in the interim basis. Now, Louisville is also in the president's business. They've got an interim president at this point, an interim athletic director, and we keep on chugging along there in Derby City.
So a lot of work to be done there. Mm-hmm. Tons of work to be done. Yeah. Some stability needs to happen at Louisville.
Yeah. Josh Hurd's been at Louisville. He worked there from 2007 to 2016, then went to Villanova as a senior associate athletic director and chief athletics operations officer for a couple of years in Philadelphia, and has come back a couple of years ago to work for Vince Tyree. So Josh Hurd's familiarity with Louisville makes it an easy selection, I think. And that's why Mark Ennis was right from 93.9 The Ville when he was talking about that with us last week.
We had some good news on the football front when it comes to All-Americas. Yep. So, and no surprises, quite frankly. I thought that was pretty much spot on.
Yeah, three ACC players are first-team Associated Press All-America: Ike Ekwonu of NC State, Zion Johnson of Boston College, and Jordan Addison of Pittsburgh are all first-team All-America selections by the AP. There were five on the second team: Kenny Pickett, the quarterback; Sean Tucker, the running back at Syracuse; Alec Lindstrom from Boston College; Jahmyr Gibbs at Georgia Tech, second-team All-America as an all-purpose back; and Jermaine Johnson of Florida State. And then the third-team player was Kalijah Cansey, the defensive lineman at Pittsburgh. So that's a pretty good haul right there. Nine guys from the Atlantic Coast Conference on the AP All-America teams yesterday. So there you go.
Liked it. I thought that was pretty accurate. Didn't you?
Sorry?
I thought that was pretty accurate.
I agree, yeah. The one thing is that Pickett has made a couple of teams over Bryce Young, I think we've noticed in some of these selections. But on the whole, I think Kenny is locked in pretty strong as a second-team quarterback. Ekwonu and Johnson and Addison, they got a chance to be unanimous, by the way. All-Americans, which would be pretty good.
Well, first team gets the job done, period, unanimous or not. But all three of those guys should have been on. I thought those were pretty accurate calls by the AP.
All right, here we go. Busy, busy show. Starts at the front end. In this hour, Mario Cristobal will join us, the new head coach at Miami, here in about 3 minutes, and Tony Elliott at the bottom of the hour, the new head coach at Virginia. And then the back end, Anna Stevenson from Louisville's volleyball program will stop by, along with Notre Dame basketball coach Mike Bray. And in the middle, national champion men's soccer coach Mike Noonan of Clemson.
That's a full show.
Yeah. That's
a little football, a little basketball, a little soccer, a little volleyball, a little Raven sugar cake.
Yeah.
Some award presentations, and we'll take your phone calls too at 844-SAY-ACCN. Plus, we got a fun topic to get into today on the show.
Yeah, we'll do that later in the 8 o'clock hour, I think. Also, National Signing Day tomorrow, so we'll talk about the impact recruiting can have with coaches and on recruiting and all those type things. In fact, it'll be a topic we'll get into next. Mario Cristobal has returned to South Florida as the head football coach at the University of Miami. We will talk to him about the first handful of days on the job and kind of how do you go from here, including tomorrow. We'll do that next when Coach joins us. This is Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday morning. Busy, busy show. Tony Elliott coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll take your phone calls, too. But right now, Wes, we want to bring on the new head football coach at the University of Miami. Mario Cristobal joins us. Coach, first of all, good morning and welcome to the ACC.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the opportunity in the ACC.
This the timing on this, I know there's a lot of emotion involved in a move like this, Coach. Kind of take us through that process from your perspective. I know you talked about it last week. This had to be as different an opportunity or as a unique opportunity as coming back home as I would think that you've had so far in your career.
It certainly was. And the timing on things like this, they seem to never be right. What I do know is that we invested every ounce of what we have, our entire existence, into the University of Oregon.
Yeah.
And upon arrival, you know, we were, I think it was 4-8 or whatnot. And the recruiting classes were, you know, they were outside the 20s, the late, the latter teens or whatnot. And you know what, after a couple of years of hard work, Rose Bowl champions, multiple conference titles, played in three in a row. And right now sitting in Eugene are the top three classes university has ever signed. So you take comfort in that and a lot of pride in that we feel we left in a better place than when we arrived, but extremely thankful to everyone there because they were incredible. And my family certainly is grateful, and a great experience and a very difficult decision. Yeah. And then at the same time, a very exciting one as well, for it's a little bit different when you played at a place. And I don't know how many head coaches around the country have that opportunity, to have been able to play for national champions and return to their alma mater and have the opportunity to join them as a head coach.
Coach, I know you've got a great reputation from a recruiting perspective, and you're in a hotbed, as you well know. So I'm not worried about Miami's future recruiting classes because you're going to do a great job. But here's what I do know. You know what? You got yourself a quarterback. And when you get to your first practice and you start watching tape and everything else, this guy, TVD, he can sling it. You got yourself a gunslinger back there at QB.
Really excited about him and actually the entire quarterback room. Those guys are talented guys. They're competitors. They've got great energy about them, a great presence about them. They're natural leaders. And starting, of course, with Tyler and the way that he performed this past season, just incredible numbers, incredible leadership. It means the world to him. There's nothing he can't do. And when you have a quarterback like that, you surround him with the right pieces. There's a lot of the right pieces here already. Guys are looking forward to working out, developing, jumping in the offseason program. There's a lot that we're bringing to the table because it's our obligation to make sure that they have the best experience possible and develop at the highest level. So we can't wait. We can't wait to get started. We're going to wait till after the bowl game, let them finish what they started. The coaches here deserve that. The players deserve that. But then we're ripping and running.
I was getting ready to ask you, I think the timing and the script on how all this works from a priority standpoint is interesting. And you just cleared up some of that. So the current staff handles kind of the way it ends for the regular season and the postseason. Meanwhile, here's this thing tomorrow called signing day. How does that work? I can only imagine how fast that train's running right now from your perspective.
It runs fast, especially when you arrive, what, 5, 6, 7 days out. Mm-hmm. You got to roll, and there's some really good players that were already committed to the class and a couple of others that you want to join the class. And you want to make sure that when you arrive, if you're not familiar with everyone that was targeted or whatnot, that you do take the time to understand how it fits and if it does fit, because you have a certain amount of scholarships. Certainly, recruiting has changed. The landscape has changed. The transfer portal certainly makes things extremely different. But we want to make sure that whoever we bring into the program is a great fit, has a great understanding of what we want to do and how we want to do it and how they play a huge part in it, how we can develop them. It's all about the fit. So either way, we're excited. We got some. We have some certainly some really big battles going down to the wire, and we're looking forward to those battles.
Coach, it's a new regime at Miami, not only with you and the staff and so forth from a football perspective, but also from a leadership standpoint. You know, we've had a chance to know Dan Radakovich for a long, long time with his work at Clemson and Georgia Tech, etc. Now he's now running the show at Miami. Talk about the interactions you had with Dan and the team that you look forward to having moving forward at Miami.
Well, certainly he has a reputation for being one of the best, if not the best, in the business. A visionary. He understands how to do it at the highest level. And he's seen it grow. And the details of all those things are critically important to us pushing forward here at the University of Miami. Obviously, his familiarity with the university plays a huge role in it as well. But he's driven, energetic. I mean, it's exactly what we needed and wanted. So really enthused, fired up to work with him.
Coach, in kind of the emotions of this whole thing, and I know it's hard because it's going 100 miles an hour right now, but coming back to South Florida, where you grew up, played there, obviously all those ties, and yet the former teammates of yours and the former players seem to be as excited as at any point here in the last decade by just your arrival. What kind of sense of value does that mean to you right now?
Oh, that's everything. You know, when it's as humbling as you can imagine. There's no words to describe it. And it hits you. It hits you hard. And it makes everything mean that much more. It already means the world to myself, to the guys we surround ourselves with. I mean, this for me has always been a vocation. It's never been a job, never. And to see guys that I played with, that I had the opportunity to coach, guys that, you know, we sweated, we bled together, and we laid it on the line, and now they're ready to they've created a groundswell of energy and support. So this thing it's hot right now. And it's got a lot of momentum, and we want to capitalize on that and make sure that we galvanize the entire University of Miami Hurricane family, far and close, to make sure that we forge forward with a tremendous amount of juice, energy, and momentum.
During your press conference, I was fascinated by the analogy of bring it in tight. And not just the players and not just your staff, but everybody. Bring it in tight. I mean, it's almost like now we're doing what everybody's talked about doing, but we got to make sure we stay together in that process. How important is that going to be between now and spring, and then spring to the kick next September, I guess?
Well, it has to be always. I think number one is, I mean, there's no way to do it without sticking together, because there are some painful steps that you cannot skip. That's inevitable. And when those things hit, when adversity hits, you got to make sure that your people are really your people, and that you're finding ways to overcome, you're finding ways to get better, you're finding ways to get tighter. And really, the tougher it gets, the better we should become as a family and as a football team. And that's easily said, hard to do, but you want to lay the groundwork for that, because when you watch from afar, that's the one thing that you want to make sure that is clearly understood, right? Mm-hmm. Families are watching. Recruits are watching. The future of the University of Miami is watching. I mean, to give you an example, you know, my wife and I, we have a foundation. We're going to jump right into the community, and we know what this community needs and how we can better serve it, right? So it's got to start at the grassroots level and work all the way up to the alumni, the extended Hurricane family. There's so many Hurricane fans that never went to school here but know and feel the passion and the energy and the game changer that the University of Miami is when it's on. And so all those things combined, it's really powerful. And it's time to get this thing rolling.
Coach, I used to live down in South Florida and worked at the Blockbuster Bowl a long, long time ago. About around the time you guys were kicking everybody's rear end with the U. And I always loved going to the Orange Bowl because it had its own vibe. It had its own, like when you walked in that joint, it just smelled and felt like football before we got to kickoff. And you know what I'm talking about. How do you restore, again, you can't recapture the Orange Bowl because it was unique and special, but how do you kind of restore that vibe when you go to Hard Rock moving forward now with this regime, given the fact you did have blood, sweat, and tears on that field and what it meant to be the U? You go down there, man, that was a loss. I don't care who you were. So it kind of transform that now into the crystal ball era moving forward at Miami.
Well, there's no doubt that there's no place in history like the Orange Bowl. I mean, I still have a chunk of, I think, a seating area at my house that I kept from one of the last days there. So, but like anything else, buildings are buildings, and we have a beautiful, I mean, absolutely beautiful stadium. But the things that always make these places special, unique, and give you a home field advantage are the people, right? It's all about the people, whether it be a football program, a company, a family. It's all about the people inside those walls, inside the stadium, sitting in those seats. So we will generate an enormous amount of enthusiasm because, you know, for us, we want to play the game the way it's supposed to be played, one that inspires our people to come on out and realize that down here in South Florida, the University of Miami is going to play the kind and the brand of football that's going to make everybody proud. It's going to be physical. It's going to be fast. There's going to be a relentless amount of effort behind it. So we want to make sure that when you come to a game, you're itching all week to get there. And I know how South Florida brings it. I used to sit in the Orange Bowl when the Hurricanes used to play, the Miami Dolphins used to play, and it was frightening for opponents, right? 58 straight home wins. 58, okay? And that's difficult to do. It's been a long time and no one's touched that. So it's all about the people. We're going to be with them, around them, encouraging them, inviting them, but we want to make sure that home field is a distinct advantage for the Hurricanes.
I remember those days, my man. Like you said, boy, that was an automatic L if you got that on the schedule, a road trip to the Orange Bowl. Before we get you out of here, and again, we always appreciate your time and wish the very best to your mom, too, by the way, during this holiday spirit and so forth. We've been asking coaches this, and now this is your debut. What would be your walk-up music? The ultimate fire me up thing for you personally on game day. What is it?
I don't believe in external motivation. I'm just thinking about how we're going to get after the other team across the field. And I used to love hearing the sounds and sights of the crowd as we're walking out the tunnel. I remember warming up to Phil Collins In the Air Tonight, you know, and the Scorpions Rock You Like a Hurricane.
There you go.
Those are certainly things that stand out. But whatever gives that stadium juice, and honestly, whatever gets the players going, you know. But in terms of external motivation, we're going to rely on working our tails off starting in January and making sure that we carry that over to the season and make sure that everything is built from the inside out, because in the fourth quarter, that's what's going to show anyways.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's great to have you in the Atlantic Coast Conference, in particular at the University of Miami. Look forward to more visits with you. Take care. Thank you for your time this morning.
Okay. Appreciate you guys having me. Go Canes.
Mario Cristobal, the new head football coach at the University of Miami. Enjoyed our visit there. When we come back off to Charlottesville, fast and furious here in the first hour, Tony Elliott is the brand new head coach at Virginia. Formally announced yesterday afternoon, we will talk to a familiar face in a new location next when Packer and Durham continues on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday morning. We go from Coral Gables, where we just talked to Coach Cristobal, a newbie in the ACC. We go to another one. Right?
More Coastal Division.
Yeah, it's all about Wahoo Wah right now. And the guy that we had a chance to know really, really well with Dabo's staff now has an opportunity to be the head coach. And he is the new man at the University of Virginia. That'd be Tony Elliott. Coach, first of all, good morning and congratulations on the new gig.
Good morning. I appreciate it, fellas. It's been a whirlwind, but what a blessing, and I'm extremely honored to be given an opportunity to lead UVA football into the future.
Any way to kind of capture the last 6.5 days, Tony? I mean, just it had to be emotional. It had to be got to be businesslike, I guess, at times. I mean, just I got to believe you run the roller coaster of it, don't you?
Oh, it's been a whirlwind. Actually, 2 days on the job here in Charlottesville, and it feels like I've already been here a year. Everything's moving so fast, and the days are long. But the process was kind of how I envisioned it would be, having an opportunity to really think things out. You know, for me, it was always about confirmation in the right place, and in the process, the way that it played out was confirmation for me. So it's an exciting time. I look forward to the excitement and the challenges ahead. But it's been a whirlwind. And Coach Ballin told me something a long time ago, that you never know what it's like until you're on the other side of the table. And now I'm starting to realize exactly what he was talking about.
You know, you've had opportunities in the past to become a head coach at fill in the blank. Why Virginia?
You guys know me well, and I've been you know, very patient, looking for the right opportunity. Wanted to be in a situation where education was the most important thing, first and foremost, and what better place than University of Virginia with the world-class academics. I wanted to be in a situation where there was complete alignment from top to bottom, and it was centered around development of the student-athlete first and foremost, and then, you know, an expectation to win at the highest level. Wanted to be able to go and recruit high character, exceptional young men that are going to be, you know, world-class leaders moving forward. And then also wanted to be in a situation where I can be a contributor to helping to change the narrative in college football and bring it back to being student-athlete centered and focused and proving that you can win at the highest level, but you can do it while achieving excellence in academics, leadership, and service.
Tony, there is an idea about, you mentioned the alignment. There was a lot going on at Virginia last week. I mean, not only was the story being written about you and the potential for the job, there was also this Board of Visitors vote for an allotment of money that would be used for football facilities. It seemed like a lot was going into the football program at Virginia in a very short time span. How much did that or did that not contribute to ultimately your decision?
You know, the facilities aspect is important, but it wasn't, you know, essential to my decision. The biggest thing for me was being able to have quality time to establish a relationship with the AD, and Carla is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And we immediately had a connection, but we were able to have, you know, those difficult conversations to really, really challenge each other to make sure that the alignment was true and genuine. And so for me, that was the most important part of the process. And yes, it's great that there is a renewed commitment to the facilities and the infrastructure at Virginia. But we all know, and you've been around, bricks and mortar are important. But at the end of the day, it's the alignment and it's everybody pulling in the same direction. And that's what was the most refreshing thing about this process for me. And it was also the confirmation that I needed to know that this is the right place for me.
Tony, I know tomorrow is National Signing Day, but you've already got the biggest signee, and that is that Brendan Armstrong decided, hey, you know what? I'm coming back to play more football. As you well know, being an offensive guy, having that quarterback makes a world of difference.
Oh, definitely, and I'm excited to get to know him, you know, on a deeper level. Just my general impressions and thoughts about him is he's an outstanding young man, a very high character individual. In my limited time around him and the team, man, you can see everybody is just drawn to him. He galvanizes people. So I'm excited. So obviously, unbelievable talent with a tremendous amount of success so far in his career. But most important thing is you can tell that he's a quarterback and he's a leader of the team. And when you have a guy like that, when your best player is your hardest worker, mm-hmm. then you have a chance to be successful.
Tony, I'm curious about this. You've moved within the league, and you just told us during the break that there were some cats invading your coaching locker room there to get the orange out of Clemson. How much of that closet did we really have to change over from shirts and ties? Because it's a pretty similar, although, what'd you say, Pack? It's a richer orange?
It's a richer shade of orange when you're the head coach.
So kind of how does that work? I mean, you keep the ties. I mean, I remember when Spurrier and Muschamp switched jobs, they switched ties. I mean, how's that been for you?
Well, you know, the orange is similar, but as you said, this is a richer color orange, so there'll be a good portion that I could keep. But I'm excited about the navy blue. And I know I have a lot of, 16 years associated with the program, 11 years on staff. So, you know, I have a lot of family and friends that'll still continue to pull for Clemson. And obviously, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the program, admiration. But half of it I got to get rid of, but I'm excited about the new colors.
Speaking of Clemson, I mean, ridiculous success, right? I mean, just unbelievable. And it's been well documented. But, you know, your buddy Brent Venables takes a head job at Oklahoma, which is an opportunity of a lifetime. You've got an opportunity of a lifetime at Virginia. Those conversations with Dabo, what were they like? Anything you could share with us?
Well, you guys know the type of relationship that I have with Coach Sweeney. He started as a player when he came to Clemson in 2003 to take over the receivers. So he was my position coach. And, you know, we immediately started to forge a bond, you know, that has continued to strengthen over the years. And so I have, you know, different perspectives than a lot of people. I see him as a father figure, you know, as a mentor, as a colleague. And, you know, the conversation as it relates to the head coaching transition with me and Coach Sweeney is always about, you know, finding the right situation. Because he's always said to me, he said, I don't want you to be a young head coach. I want you to be an old head coach. And so you got to make the right decision. He wants me to wanted me to make a decision where I could go somewhere and raise my boys and not be moving to move, so to speak. So, you know, the conversations were never about what most people may suspect, financial resources, none of that was never part of the conversation. It was always about finding the right fit so that I can have that passion and energy and joy to get up every single morning and go to work.
Tony, I was at an event last night where I had a couple folks who follow college sports ask me this question, and I'll ask you the same question. How much of the Sweeney DNA do you think you and Venables take to Oklahoma and Virginia, and how much of that growth plate do you expect Dabo's coaching tree to expand with what you guys learned working on that successful trip?
Well, great question. So first, you know, I was 22 years old when I first met Coach Sweeney. I already had my degree. And so a lot of the foundational pieces of who I am were already in place. And the beautiful thing is that we shared, you know, many of those same foundational pieces. So a lot of who I was already aligned with who he is. And so that's just, you know, so awesome that we were able to spend so many years together just continuing to cultivate, you know, those values. There's going to be, you know, some imprints that you're going to see. But what I told, you know, the team and everybody here is I'm not trying to make Virginia Clemson. You know, I want to make Virginia the best version of Virginia. And so Virginia's brand is unique, it's distinct, and it's different. And that's what we're going to build upon. Now, there's going to be some processes and some different things that I'll put in place. And so it's going to have, you know, some imprints. But at the end of the day, we're going to build Virginia to what Virginia is supposed to be.
Coach, I know that we had Coach Pry on last week, and he was just named, of course, at Virginia Tech. And you're going to see him eyeball to eyeball a bunch. It just seems for both schools, both University of Virginia and Virginia Tech, recruiting in-state has got to be a priority. As you well know, it's a state that really produces big-time talent, and it's been poached by everybody and their brother in recent years. I would assume that's got to be a priority, as maybe priority number one for UVA from a recruiting perspective.
Definitely, and I heard Coach Cristobal earlier talk about it, and you hear it a lot in college football, but the inside-out mentality. And so it starts here in the Commonwealth. You know, we got to make sure that we do a great job of reestablishing the relationships, you know, with the high school coaches and make them know that they are a priority. And a lot of it is, too, is making sure that we get these young men on campus and get them to understand, you know, what it means to be from the state of Virginia and have an opportunity to put your state on the map and to carry that forward. And so definitely it's going to be a huge priority, but at the same time too, understanding that there's a unique fit, you know, here at the University of Virginia, because of all the things that I told you attracted me to this outstanding place. So we're going to do a great job of building relationships and make sure that the guys that fit and the guys that want to come to Virginia have an opportunity.
All right, Mario just gave us his timeline. Previous staff will coach the bowl game, all these type right. deals. Signing day Wednesday. Then in January is when everything kind of really ramps up from an in-house standpoint about the personnel, the staff, all those things. Is that similar to what you're going to have go on at Charlottesville as well, or there's some changes there?
Very similar. This is a unique situation, obviously because of Coach Mendenhall, you know, making his decision to step down. And first, I have to, man, give a huge thanks and a huge shout out to Coach Mendenhall and his staff. Fellas, I know you guys have joked over the years about, you know, how my aptitude being an engineer, but wow, having an opportunity to sit down with Coach Mendenhall and pick his brain. Yeah. Oh man, he's unbelievable. Probably the smartest person I've ever had a chance to exchange dialogue with, but he's one of the most pure and genuine individuals that I've ever seen. So I'm excited for his coaching staff to be able to finish with this team, but it's also given me a great opportunity to take my time and not have to rush into, you know, bringing in the staff to get ready for a bowl game, and then also give his guys a fair opportunity, because it is a unique transition to give them an opportunity to be evaluated going forward. So very similar timeline. Obviously, the situation with recruiting is very difficult, because I was announced yesterday, got on campus on Sunday. The guys here did a great job of holding the commitments that they had together, and I'm excited about welcoming the guys that are coming early and all those guys that will sign on tomorrow. But I'm going to be patient, and Carla has kind of given me her blessing to make sure that I get the right people in here, because we know at the end of the day, it's not the bricks and mortar that make a home, but it's the people that are inside the house.
A lot of truth in that. We've been asking every coach this now. We're going to let you jump into the deep end of the pool here.
Yeah.
What is Tony Elliott's walk-up music? What's the ultimate song?
Oh, Meek Mill, Dreams and Nightmares, no question. No question. And again, I heard Coach Cristobal, and I'm inside out too. But there's also a component of me. I'm a little bit younger, and so I grew up in a generation where, you know, not necessarily do we get externally motivated by the music, but man, there's just something that when that song comes on, it hits a little bit different.
I knew at some point some of that SoCal come rolling back in here.
I don't do it like that. Hey, Meek Mill's from Philly. He's an East Coast guy.
I know where Meek Mill's from, but I just knew some of that. I knew some of that coming back would roll in here. Hey, congratulations. Thrilled for you. Thrilled for your family. Yeah. And the thing that I exchanged this yesterday with somebody, I'm the patience paid off, man. I mean, you know, you could have done this. You and I have talked. You could have pulled this trigger 5 years ago. You could have done that. But I know you were waiting for the right landing spot. And I tell you what I really respect is the philosophy and the journey you took while you were doing that. That's cool.
Oh, I really appreciate that. And I got to thank you guys for just the hospitality that you've always given me and the graciousness. And thank you for all of your help along the way. Like I said yesterday in a press conference, that it's not about me. I can't do it alone. But I'm thankful to have this opportunity. And I'm looking forward to being able to visit with you guys.
No, wait. Now somebody bucking for appointments.
Hey, let me tell you something. If you're hanging out with Tony Elliott, you're hanging out with good people.
That's so it. Engineers. We're hanging out with engineers.
You don't need an invite, my man. You know the code. You can get on here anytime you want.
We got some gear on here. You know, we got a Virginia lid here. It's not like we had to. You know, we got a lot of stuff from Virginia, man. They take care of us, so There you go.
Hey, be well, hey, Tony. Let me tell you something. Yeah. My youngest son said it was the greatest day because that's what he got. He got a bunch of gear when we showed up.
Christmas came early.
Hey, take care.
Early. Yes, sir.
Be
I appreciate
well,
y'all.
You bet. You. Tony right, Elliott, you. New head football coach, University of Virginia. I think you'll do a great job. He's right about that transition, right? Mendenhall coaching his last game at Virginia, going out in a retirement situation, staff infrastructure. Interesting evaluation process for him too, right? You get to kind of look at your team in a ramp-up setting.
You know, Tony is a really – I said this yesterday. I've said it 100 times. He's a really smart guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, forget football a second. I'm just talking about handle people with class, dignity.
Yep.
I think his style fits perfectly with what the University of Virginia stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a matter of, all right, lineage. He talked about it. So did Mario. Same thing. AD, chancellor, president, coach. You got to be on the same page. And if everybody's pulling in the same direction, you could do magical things. And Virginia's always had huge upside. Bronco does leave him with some talent, which is a good thing. And when you've got that quarterback, same thing with Cristobal at Miami. He's got TVD. You know what? Tony Elliott's going to roll out there for his first practice and see Brendan Armstrong. Man, you've got to have that guy. You have that guy, you can build around it and let it rip. So, again, Tony Elliott, class personified. Could not be happier for him and his family and the University of Virginia. It was a good fit.
Yep, really was. All right, on the other side, we've touched on signing day here a couple different ways with Cristobal and with Tony Elliott. With a day to go, where do ACC classes rank in terms of their signing day? And what's the window of change? We'll talk about that next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget the signing day specials commence tomorrow. Obviously, we'll be here at 7 to get your day underway, and we'll fill in the gaps where we can with experts and guests and thoughts and commentary. Then tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, the huddle. Everybody gets around the table. Tom Luganbill gets involved from a national analyst perspective on recruiting. And they will break it all down for you right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Yep. Got the fax machine. Went yesterday to Kinko's. Got some fax paper.
Got some toner.
It is right there. Right there on the SiriusXM radio desk. And we're good to go for tomorrow morning.
Fax machine.
Can you believe we're still doing that?
What?
Fax machine.
I can't believe you have one.
It's right there.
I know why.
Because ESPN got it for me. Would you like a fax machine and a printer? Yeah, sure. Whatever. You guys have an unlimited budget. Yeah, let it rip.
Fax
put one in
machine.
There. You know how many times we've used it?
That'd be zero.
This is show 521. It's never been used.
Right.
Sitting right there collecting dust.
Okay.
In fact, it's got the Phil Steele magazine and all my thank you notes.
I see that.
Cards. That's what's sitting on top of it. Right
there you go.
And I'll read that Phil Steele magazine in about 4 weeks.
When the season is totally
that's
over.
That's how I do it. I get all the magazines, the college football magazines, and I read them at the end of the season. Because I always get a good – you're talking about a good laugh. You want to go back and see what everybody thought in the middle of the summer? I never open them beforehand. I always read it after the season. It's hilarious. We're not making fun of anybody because we make fun of ourselves all the time.
Right.
Doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We've gone back with some of our early predictions, and you know how that's worked out.
Yeah.
Not very well.
Not very well. Signing day tomorrow, and that's kind of a prediction business, isn't it? When you think about it, right? You're trying to project how someone will fit with some class. Now, some are can't miss, some unknowns. But here's the way recruiting classes with a day to go are shaping up for the top 50, including some ACC schools here. North Carolina is 8. Florida State is 10. This is updated last night. Clemson 16. Virginia Tech 19th. BC and Georgia Tech also in the top 30, then NC State, Duke, and Virginia. Those are the schools in the top 50, and obviously not every ACC school. And again, as I always like to use the Paul Johnson line, they all come highly recommended. However, this recruiting thing, as we have said before, and this is the part you said yesterday, you kind of got to wait 3 years before you know what you know.
Here's what I don't understand. And let me emphasize for the 1 trillionth time. I am not a recruiting guy.
Neither
are you.
No.
People will lose their minds tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to. It doesn't matter if you got the number one class or the number 101st class. People tomorrow will sit there and go, we got so-and-so. How do they have this guy ranked? He's the fourth-ranked tight end from the left coast with days on born on days of the even numbers. People come up with the craziest stuff on National Signing Day. If you want to rank them, quite frankly, you know, you can rank them tomorrow. But go back 2 years ago and then do a reassessment of what you thought was the number one class or the 10th class or the 20th class. And then tell me how many of those signees, number one, are still on your roster. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Second of all, tell me what kind of production of the dudes that are still left. And then you rank them. I mean, this thing tomorrow, and I know people love tomorrow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to poo-poo the whole deal here. But just keep it in perspective. The objects to get fits and needs for what your program is. Do you get the right guy for what you need ASAP? That's the deal. And you hope that you get these guys that stay around. I mean, this transfer portal, how about yesterday, Wes? Bo Nix, Auburn. Slovis, USC. You know, Calzada, A&M. I mean, like, where are we going? I mean, this transfer portal, I think, changes everything.
Right.
As far as losing your mind tomorrow with whether your team had a great day, presumed a great day, mm-hmm. or whether or not, oh, my God, we're not ranked in the top 25. Our program is going to, you know what? No, it's not. Just chill tomorrow, right? Your coaches have got to have a handle on what your program needs.
Period. Well, and here's the other part about this. We've got four head coaches coming into the season. Three of them are inheriting what are anticipated to be top 50 classes. Cristobal is the only one who isn't right now based on the numbers we just showed you. So let's look at coaches who've given their programs when they got a chance to go through their first full recruiting cycle. And here's kind of – this is always a fascinating piece for me, Mark, because this is the wait and see, right? So here's a 13 hire. You look at the first full recruiting classes for guys like Dave Doran, Jeff Collins, Dave Clawson. How about that one? And this is where they ranked when they were hired and then when they got through. It just shows you what the coaching aspect is and what the markup value could be either on the front end or the back end, I guess.
You'll find out who wants to compete, who wants to put in the effort, who wants to be coached, who thinks they've invented sliced bread before they get the time. I mean, whether you're a five-star or a walk-on or whatever the case may be, you know, you're going to find out that answer 2 years from now.
Right.
I mean, seriously, and I don't mean to, you know, like I said, diminish the enthusiasm for folks who live for tomorrow. It's just one of those things that I've always taken a step back and said, hey, if you want to throw a party because you had the – I mean, how many times has Georgia had the number one recruiting class? We're ranked in the top two or three. I've yet to – they've won, what, one playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to coach folks up. You got to win games. You got to develop play. I mean, some folks do a better job than others.
Yeah.
And so I don't care if you're ranked number one or not, or number 101. Tell me when they get on campus mm-hmm. and find out who can get the job done, who wants to compete, who wants to be coached. I mean, again, if you want to be miserable tomorrow, you can be miserable. But I would just chill with all the rankings and all that stuff tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sky's not falling on your program. Get better.
When we come back, we go to hour two. Anticipatory matchups. What do you got here? You got something brewing here on this, don't you?
No, we talked yesterday about how kind of cool it could be. You could have a volleyball national championship
right.
between Louisville and Pittsburgh. They're currently ranked number one and number three based on the seeds. They're in the Final Four. They're in separate brackets. You could have an all-ACC national championship volleyball showdown with number one and three.
Mm-hmm.
And it got us thinking a little bit about, all right, how about some of the ultimate ACC showdowns mm-hmm. involving top five, top 10, whatever the case may be. You know, obviously the volleyball situation is unique because we're in the national championship picture. We've also had regular season matchups.
Right.
We've had conference championship matchups. So we're going to dive deeper into that in hour number two.
All right. We'll do that on the other side. Don't forget Mike Noonan, 8:45, the national champion soccer coach from Clemson. But when we come back, two of the four from the ACC at the volleyball championship. But this applies to other sports too. Sit tight. Packer and Durham's Hour 2 is next.
Packer and Durham.